Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
You get the idea? Bring me
a dream. It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips.
Like it's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
And tell him that his lonesome
life's the Sandman.
Over, Sandman.
After 25 years of hard work, Frank was just asked to leave his job. Has your company offered you a package to hang it up for good? Well, if so, you're not alone. Many companies are considering the costs to keep you around, and they're finding that they could save a whole lot of money by letting you go right now. So what should you do? If you're like Frank, this would have been a very bad option. So stay with me this morning as we share five things you need to know about leaving work. And welcome to Protect Your Assets. I'm David Hollander, your host. It is so good to be with you this morning. For those of you just joining me for the first time, welcome. People around here, they call me the Sandman. And that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions each week. And that's because I run a financial planning firm, a tax practice, and I'm a partner in our law firm. So earlier I was talking about Frank. You see, his wife is a longtime listener of the show, and recently Frank's employer offered him a package. Many of Frank's friends have also been offered packages over the last few months, and many have taken them. So now they're faced with a difficult decision. They've left their job, and now they're wondering what to do with the 401k. This is a tough decision, especially if you were asked to leave your job, because the last thing you probably want is to leave your 401k with that company, right? So what should you do? What's the right thing to do, and how do you avoid huge taxes and penalties? You need to know what options you have, so stay with us as we share five options when you leave your job dealing with your 401k. You're only going to find it here on Protect Your Assets this morning. Now, let's get started. Well, the Fed did what they're going to do. We've been talking about this for over a month now. They did. They went ahead and raised rates on Wednesday, 25 basis points. Now the Fed fund rate sits at 5.5%. Market liked it. For the week, the Dow was up 0.7%. Year-to-date, we're sitting right at 7%. Up S&P 500, up 1% for the week. Up over 19% year-to-date. Pretty strong there. NASDAQ, again, just continuing to power on, up 36.8% year-to-date. For the week, up 2%. The international index as well, up 0.7% for the week. Year-to-date, up 12.8%. A 10-year treasury settling at 3.96. Oil had a pretty good week, up 4.4%. Year-to-date, now positive slightly, closing in at $80.48 a barrel. And bonds are off a little bit after Thursday. We'll talk about that. But year-to-date up 1.7%. So I got a question after the Fed raised rates from Jason. Jason asked me, was this the last rate hike from the Fed? Well, Jason, they may not admit it, but it very well could be. So what does the Fed decision on Wednesday mean for the market? That's the big question. Well, the markets expected the Fed to do the quarter point. That's why it has been rallying the way it has these last few weeks. And as I've been talking about, this Fed expectation is one of the three pillars of the 23 stock market rally that I just spoke about. These sort of returns are pretty good. And following the decision, that pillar of consistent rate hikes is still in place. It hasn't been broken yet. And that's because it further reinforces the year-to-date gain in stock. But if we look at it from a tactical position, that means that what we saw in the markets prior to the Fed should continue as long as there are no major surprises. Like what? Well, you need to be looking for these cyclical sectors closing the performance gap with Tech. What I mean by that is they haven't really performed well this year. Nothing's really been going on, except as I just mentioned with the oil market. That complex is starting to heat up. RSP, that's an index, and SPY, S-P-Y. So we need to see RSP start to outperform the S&P 500. And a broadening of the stock market rally where we see the S&P start to churn sideways because of the valuations, and we start to see these sort of sectors improve, meaning go back up. That's where you're going to see more momentum. And so I'm looking at, these are the following symbols, XLI, XLE, XLB, small caps. You can look at the index IWM. Value and RSP. Those need to start to outperform. Bottom line, the Fed Wednesday really did nothing to counter the year-to-date rally in stocks or damage any of the three pillars supporting the rally that we've seen so far. And the pillars, again, soft to no landing, which, remember, that's never happened before. Fed near the end of the rate hike. And as we mentioned, we defined this last week, disinflation, which basically means no recession. At the same time, the Fed really did nothing to provide any catalyst or overcome the valuation we see right now on the S&P. So there's really no material news out there to drive this S&P 500 much higher, in my opinion. And so the takeaway from the Fed is just to keep watching the data, because the market is pricing in the Fed cutting rates, Jason, in early 24. So I'm going to pick March as the month when I think that may happen. And disappointment on either is where the risk is from a Fed standpoint, and the economic data will be key in determining whether those risks start to appear. So another thing you could be looking at is CPI readings between now and September. We know the Fed will meet again in September. And if the consumer price index or any related inflation numbers start to come in hotter than expected, we have two jobs reports, remember, the market will start to price the Fed raising rates and will probably go down. And this was best illustrated on Thursday, because you remember what happened on Thursday. Maybe you weren't paying attention. But on Thursday, we saw the market get a little squirrely. And that's because we had some hot news again from U.S. GDP. So the second quarter gross domestic product growth index came in. And this surprised to the upside. And what that shows is that the economy is what we're going to call above trend speed. So it's doing well. The annualized growth figure came in at 2.4%. That's really good. And it was above the estimates of 1.8. And this drove the market to consider whether it was in a good position. That's why Thursday was choppy. And the growth is resilient. It continues on. And this is supported by business investment, inventories continuing to chop up. And this was spread across many companies. So what was worth mentioning in that report? Well, personal consumption. Personal consumption was the driver of that. Came in at 1.6%. It was above expectation of 1.2. But that's a heck of a lot better than last quarter's 4.2% annualized growth rate. In fact, quite a bit better. So overall, while there were some areas of easing, the GDP number indicates no sign of an imminent recession. So there's no sign of an imminent recession or a downturn. And in my view, the economy could continue to undergo what we see as a rolling recession. These are new terms, a rolling recession, where some parts of the economy, such as manufacturing, housing, could be bottoming and then recover, while other parts continue to drive on. So these are the things that you need to pay attention to and keep watching, because we haven't seen the service sector, right? People are still traveling. They're staying in hotels. They're eating at restaurants. Airports are crazy. And this shows that the consumers are still spending. So we need to see that start to slow down. And I suspect as summer starts to wind up, we will. We'll start to see that soften on the second half of the year. And that's where the recession noise will start to heat up And we may see some sort of a slowdown. Again, a rolling slowdown, nothing serious. People have asked me, is this going to be like 2008? No, it's not. I just don't see that happening right now. So the key question is, are we going to continue to see inflation grow or moderate and decline? That's really what we need to see. And the numbers will show it. So right now we're seeing a slowdown in inflation. That's good. And there's pockets, again, of hot spots. But I think that'll wind its way out. So where are the opportunities right now? What do you want to be taking a look at? Where do you want to be investing? What should you be doing? Well, you need to look at value. I think value right now is a nice place to look. Small caps, cyclicals, industrials, materials, and developed international. I'd be avoiding emerging markets right now. I'd be getting out of junk, if you haven't yet, junk bonds. And for your fixed income, you know, I've read an interesting article about 60-40 is dead. I don't think so. I think you just have to think about it a little differently. If you're allocating any money to bonds, there's some pretty good value out there right now. And you can get things that are federally insured. So for me, on the bond approach, I like the barbell. Think about a weight you pick up. There's a weight on each side of it, right? It's a barbell. That's what that means. And you can do your bonds the same way. On the left side, let's say that's the short end of the curve. That's the 1 to 3 year. And then on the right side where you have the other weight, that's the farther end of the curve, maybe 20 year. And so you stagger it and you buy different maturities at different months. So on the 1 year treasury right now, yesterday, Friday, we saw it close in at, this is an average, by the way, 530. And on the 20 year, I'm seeing agencies at a 485. I mean, that's pretty strong. So if you can lock those rates in, and if we do get some sort of a rate reduction that comes, well, that's going to be really good. So the bottom line right now is I don't think the S&P 500 can keep going up every day. That phenomenon at some point will change, and a pullback shouldn't be a shock to you. And Thursday was some indication of what can happen. So you just have to pay attention. You got to be ready for it. And now's not a bad time to reallocate capital. It's really that simple. So check it out. Is your 401k riddled with traps, restrictions, and caveats that put you in the proverbial jail when you want to access it if you get laid off from work? We'll find out when I come back. It pays to keep it right here. You've been listening to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander. That's me. We'll be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. I am David Hollander, the Sandman, and it's a fact. People are quitting their jobs at an elevated rate, continuing the trend of what has been called the Great Resignation. Not to mention all the companies laying off employees as they're finding it cheaper to have people work remotely across the country. All of these people, and maybe you're one of them, will face a very important decision beyond what to do next. And that is, should I roll over my 401k? We're talking about that today, including five things you need to consider before you roll over that 401k. So let's just say you got laid off or you're deciding to leave work. You got this chunk of money sitting there. And maybe you're not aware of this new law. They just passed a new law, the Secure Act 2.0, end of last year. It goes into effect in 2024. And there's some things you need to know about this. And this came up this past week. We had two clients who came in, and they said their companies were offering them an early, quote, retirement package. And the money seemed pretty good, as the companies were offering about a year of salary and benefits. And after we modeled the decision for them, we found that this was a terrible decision. Frank was telling me how many of his coworkers had already taken the deal. And now they were wondering what to do with their own situation, particularly the 401k. You see, 401ks seem like a great deal while you're working. But we looked into their plan that was riddled with traps, restrictions, and caveats that weren't apparent until you attempt to access that money once you leave work. And that's where the problem started to arise. Well, let's talk about the good news first. Well, obviously, with these type of accounts, these 401ks, they're easy to set up. The HR department makes it simple to deduct from your payroll. You can set a percentage to be taken from each paycheck. It goes right into your plan. And then you can use that for retirement. The contribution you make can be tax deductible, meaning you pay less taxes on the money you earn that year. Some plans even offer matching contributions, which is great because that's free money. And you remember my money order. Free money is the best. Tax-free is second best. Third best is tax-deferred. And last is taxable as you start to think about your money. So if you get matching, your employer contributes money into the plan, and you don't have to do anything except put money in there. And that's great. But in both of our clients' cases that we looked at this past week, they were not taking the full advantage of their plan, and that's because no one helped them figure out what their options were when they left work. It's just, here you go, see you later. So here was some of the bad things that we saw as we started to look at it. The plans are obviously popular, but there's a problem with this particular plan. And what is that? Well, in this case, Frank gave up control of his money until a specific triggering event gave him the permission to get access to his money. Well, what does that mean? Well, in this case, there were three events that gave him permission to get into his own money and get out of the proverbial jail. Well, what were those? Well, first was he had to actually leave his employer. What does that mean? Well, you stop getting a paycheck. They may say goodbye, and maybe there's 30 or 60 days where there's this wind-up period, they call it, because they got to deal with all the administrative nonsense. You know the word I want to use. Mm-hmm. But in this case, he had to actually leave. In other words, no more connection. And that was, in this case, about 90 days where you're not touching anything. It's locked up. Forget about it. So that's the first trigger in this case was physically, actually, on paper, computer, you name it, leaving the work. Okay? That's first. Second, Frank had to be 59 and a half in this plan. That's not the rule for the law, by the way. It's not the law. For some plans, they may dictate you have to be 59 and a half as a triggering event that allows you access to your own money. And some plans can offer a 55 option. You just need to see what the plan says. Third, in this case, he had an option. This was sort of a wrinkle we found. A qualifying hardship. What does that mean? Well, let's say there's a life event that occurs. Your spouse gets sick. Well, you may have the ability, if you have a qualifying hardship, like a note from a doctor saying that, or maybe you're a first-time home buyer, where you can elect that loophole and you can use that as an option to trigger that money. And if you do it right, you can avoid the 10% IRS penalty that they're going to assess you with. They're going to hit you with taxes on that. So Frank was able to use a loophole in this case to get access to his money. Now, the next decision comes on, does it make sense to leave it there, or should you roll it to, say, an IRA? And there's a lot of factors to consider when you look at that. The first one is the investment fee. Because investment funds and 401ks can be less costly than an IRA, but they can also be more costly. And as a general rule, the bigger your company is, the more employees they have, the bigger the plan is, the less the cost or the fee internally should be. But you won't know that unless you go dig up some of the forms out there that show you what those fees are. Because, sure, you can look up the fund cost, but what are all the other costs that are in there? And so we have the tools and resources to do that. It's not necessarily an easy thing to figure out, but it can be done. The second consideration you definitely want to consider are the investment options. Certain investments like guaranteed funds, stable value funds, which are like high-earning cash or money market funds, those aren't usually available in your typical IRA. Some 401ks have these. And you'll find that some of those options can be robust or they could be limited. It just depends on again, the plan and the menu that's offered. Some retirement accounts offer things like guaranteed income for life or real estate. You could have physical real estate in your IRA. I don't know if you know that, but you can. You can take that retirement money and go buy a rental property somewhere, and then you can collect rent on that property and use that real estate as a IRA asset. Your 401k may not allow that. Another consideration, while the options may be fewer in, say, the 401k, employers have a legal obligation to curate and continually monitor a list of funds that's best suited for their workers. And if they don't do that, they have liability. And so, again, these are things that you want to consider as you start to look at rolling that 401k. Now, in Frank's case, his situation was a little technical because he had some issues that were outside of the normal. And when he dug into it, he saw that his work was making it a little tougher on him to get at his money. And as we dug more into this, we found a way to make it so Frank could get to his money. And in his case, create, in this example, hundreds of thousands of dollars of more in retirement income over his lifetime that he otherwise wouldn't have known of. You heard me right, several hundred thousand dollars. So do you have several hundred thousand dollars more buried in your plan? Well, you can find out by talking to one of our certified financial planners in my office right now by doing the following. Pick up the phone. We're there right now working. You got Phil and Adrian. Call them. 866-PROTECT. You can talk to somebody right now and unlock hundreds of thousands of dollars in additional savings that could be buried in there somewhere. Just give us a call, 866-PROTECT, that number, 866-776-8328. Call us right now. Coming up next, it is time for our popular They Say segment, where they say you should always roll over your 401k when you leave your job. Is that really a good decision? We'll find out. It always pays you to keep it tuned right here. You're listening to The Sandman on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. This is David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal and financial questions. And if you're just joining us, a lot of people right now are facing a very difficult decision, whether they're leaving their job or they were just laid off. And that has to do with getting access to their 401k once they leave work, because it's not easy. It could be a tough decision, especially if you were asked to leave out of nowhere. And the last thing you probably want to leave is your 401k with that boss or that company, because you just don't trust them, right? It's kind of that simple. So what should you do? What's the right thing? And how do you avoid taxes? Because you've got this trap sitting there that's ready to basically blow up and start paying the IRS a lot of taxes. So we figured out five things you need to know about your 401k when you leave your job. Now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and just sometimes bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? Here's David Hollander, the Sandman's answer.
All I know.
right, so here's one that they say. I hear this quite a bit. They say you should always roll over your 401k to an IRA if you leave your job. Is that always true? No, it's not. It's not always true. What if you took a new job? Well, if you start a new job and you like the new employer, you think you like the new employer, and let's say they offer a 401k plan, well, then you might be able to roll that old 401k into your new 401k, in which case you're not doing an IRA. And this could give you access to continue to grow that money tax deferred while consolidating that asset into one account instead of having 15 different accounts. And that 401k could have a wide range of investment options that are reasonably priced. You could also get matching. And this could be a good choice for you. Many companies that we've seen this happen with allow you to keep your retirement savings in that plan. And one advantage of doing that is that you might be able to get more from that new company than you were if you didn't have that money there. Meaning if you took it somewhere else, it might not be as advantageous to you in that particular account. Be aware, if you have less than $5,000 in your old 401k, your employer could automatically cash you out and send you a check. This could be very expensive because if you had all of a sudden another $4,000 hit you, all as ordinary income, that could be pretty expensive. And you could have additional tax penalties on that if you're under certain age brackets. Consider this. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, this was a study recently, the average worker who was born between 1957 and 1963 held an average of 12.3 jobs during their career. Think about that. Think of all the jobs you've had. If you choose to leave your 401k at each employer that when you leave, by the end of your career, you may have so many accounts that it would be impossible to keep track of them all. In fact, I've seen this happen. People just forget about accounts they had out there. And once more, if they have all these accounts all over the place, how are they keeping track of their investment allocation in connection with their retirement date? It's impossible. So what are some things you want to look at before you cash that in or roll over that 401k? Another option to take a look at is creditor protection. Now, you live in California, most likely, if you're listening to this. And you know how many lawyers there are in California? A lot. In fact, there's more lawyers per person in California than any other state in the United States. Did you know that? I mean, you probably guessed that. So you have what's called creditor protection with a 401k than with an IRA. Did you know that? There's a lot of law on this. And I'd be happy to talk more about it. I could probably do a whole show just on this subject because it's actually kind of complex. And, you know, I'm an attorney and I do this. Help people protect their assets, what we do. Your 401k money generally, I'm saying generally because I need to talk to you, but it's generally protected from seizure in the event of bankruptcy or some sort of personal injury that you cause on somebody else. IRA assets, they may not be protected. And the state laws in California are pretty flimsy when it comes to. Now, there are exceptions to the protection. Like if you get a divorce and you had a 401k, she or he or they, excuse me, they're getting half. It's just the way it goes. So stop complaining. It is what it is. Company stock. We see this a lot here in the Bay Area in particular. A lot of people have stock option as part of their 401k. And this is important. If you own company stock in your 401k, you get a tax benefit. So don't make a mistake. I see this with a lot of inexperienced financial advisors. They're after the fees and the accounts, of course. That's how they make money. Don't let them disclose anything differently. They should show you what they're making and how they get paid. Everyone's in business. There's no reason to hide it. Just explain it. But did you know that if you have stock in your 401k and you move it to an IRA, you could be creating a problem? What I'm talking about is this. Write this down if you know what I'm talking about. It's called net unrealized appreciation, NUA. It's a big deal. And here's the basics about it. By keeping stock in your 401k, you will pay a preferential capital gain tax on the investment growth of that stock. So let's say you're with a company, the stock exploded, did really, really well, and you're sitting on a big, fat gain. Well, by leaving it in your 401k, you can actually get tax relief on some of that. And you could actually pay much better rates than your ordinary income tax rate that you might face in retirement. A lot of people don't know about this, especially when they retire. All of a sudden, they have Social Security. They have a pension. They have rental properties. Now they've paid off the mortgage, and those rents are coming in. And you start to add all that income up. And guess what? You're paying more taxes. You think the government just did that unintentionally? Of course not. They want you to take that money out. They're going to make you take it out when you hit 73 in an RMD, required minimum distribution. They're going to make you do that. Why? They want the money. They want to tax you at ordinary tax rates, which, by the way, are going up in a year and a half from now, for sure. They're going up. Right now, that's what the law says. It's going to sunset. 2018 tax Trump law, it's gone. It's going away. And right now, there's nothing that Congress has done to stop that. And good luck, and let's see what they do. But I don't think they're going to do anything. So that means you're going to probably pay more taxes. In fact, I think it's very likely. I'd put 90% on that. So what does that mean? It means you're going to pay more taxes on your money unless you do something about it. Unless you look at what are my options and what can I do. So this disruption in your job, whether you've been laid off, whether you're transferring to a new company, whether you're just retiring, look at it as a new chapter in your life. This new chapter doesn't have to interrupt your financial well-being. You should get educated on all your options at this time of your life. Because if you do, it can make a big difference on your financial future. Now, in our office, we have attorneys, we have CPAs, and we have certified financial planners. We work as a team to make sure that you get it right. If you haven't heard this kind of advice before, or you think you might be missing out on something, then pick up the phone right now for a complimentary evaluation. This won't cost you a nickel, and you can find out what you're missing out on. But you have to pick up the phone right now and call us. Pick up the number for the phone. Call this number, 866-PROTECT. 866-776-8328. Talk to a member of my team right now, who's sitting there ready to talk to you right now. Give them a call. Coming up next on Protect Your Assets, how do you avoid the tax hit when you move your 401k? We'll find out when I come back. It's all coming up next on Protect Your Assets, because that's, after all, what we do is protect your assets. Keep it right here.
If you missed any of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, all you have to do is go to PYARadio.com, where you can download or listen to our latest shows for free. Just go to PYARadio.com on your computer or mobile device when it's most convenient for you. That's PYARadio.com. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. This is David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And it's a fact that people are quitting their jobs at an elevated rate, continuing the trend of what's been called the Great Resignation, not to mention all of the companies right now that are laying off people, and all of these people, and maybe you're one of them, will face an important decision beyond what to do next. And that is, should I roll over my 401k? We've been talking about that this morning. There are five things you have to consider before you just roll that over into an IRA. And we've been talking about that all morning. This morning, we've been talking about rolling over your 401k. Is that a good decision or not? Well, one of the things you have to consider is taxes. Because when you move your 401k, you don't want to get blindsided by a bunch of taxes. So here are some things you should know. First, you can roll over your 401k into an IRA, typically with a bank or a brokerage firm. The one IRA account can be used every time you need to roll over a 401k. So I was talking earlier about the Bureau of Labor Statistics and that survey that just came out. Lots of jobs people have. You can use that one IRA as the custodian, the basket, if you will, where you'll dump all those 401ks as you switch around from job to job. That money will continue to grow tax deferred and should be available to you in retirement. Some 401ks allow what's called a post-tax Roth contribution. This is important. Write this down because you want to check this out. After-tax Roth contribution. If your former contributions were going into the Roth, you can roll that money into your Roth rollover IRA account. Make sure you keep track of which is Roth, which is tax deferred. You may remember earlier I was talking about two clients that came to our office. One of them name was Randy. And Randy was talking about how when he rolled over his 401k into the IRA with a different firm, they put it all into one account. And they didn't give him any credit for all the taxes he'd already paid on that Roth IRA. This happens quite a bit. It's up to you to make sure that you track that and that you can show which was tax deferred and which should be coming to you tax-free through the Roth. And you need to proof of that, because if you get audited, you got to prove it. Many IRAs offer you more investment choices than your 401k might as well. And you can start investing in anything from stocks, bonds, ETFs, mutual funds, annuities, maybe even real estate like we were talking about. And there are many online platforms right now that enable investors to buy and sell investments on their own. You could certainly check out our website, libertygroupllc.com, to find out more information about what you may not know about. Another consideration you should take a look at before you roll that is your loan provisions. Here's what I'm talking about. Some of these 401ks that you're in right now provide the ability for you to take a loan against the 401k just in case you get in trouble, you need some money. So you may want to leave that account behind if you have that option, because you never know when you might need a little extra money. Now, typically you cannot borrow money or take a loan from an IRA. Doesn't exist the same way as the 401k. So while these provisions are rare in your previous plan, they may be there. So ask your HR department if you have the ability to take a loan. And if you have access, and let's say you find yourself in a pinch in the next 5-6 years as you're building your wealth to retire, that 401k could provide you a loan. As long as you follow the repayment rules, you won't suffer any adverse tax consequences, and you don't necessarily have to be employed there to take advantage of this. So check that out, because you just don't want to leave that on the table. Now, I know this stuff sounds confusing and it's complex and it's complicated. I get it. And if you just want a second opinion, well, as you know, at my team, we have attorneys, we have tax preparers, CPAs, certified financial planners. We act as a team and we help you analyze what you have and what choices you could be making in the future. If you'd like a complimentary strategy session to go over what you don't know, we can give that to you. You can check it out and see what you think. Call us right now to get that complimentary appointment. 866-PROTECT. The number to call, 866-776-8328. We have employees of us right now, not in some other country. They're here, right here in California, answering the phone right now at work. So give them a call, 866-776-8328, to get your complimentary second opinion to see what you may be missing out on, particularly if you just got laid off. This is a tough time for you. All right. I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team this morning for putting together a great show. Raf, my executive producer, network manager Kevin Renfer, and, of course, Adrian, Phil back there answering the phone. All you guys, thank you so much, because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. Thanks again, everybody. You have been listening to the Protect Your Assets show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.